Welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton LiveFX lesson, and we're going deep on one of the most slept-on tools for DJ-friendly drum and bass, reverse cymbal transitions. Not random reverse crash because it sounds cool. I'm talking about reverses that behave like a proper DJ edit. They tell the room the next phrase is coming. They lift the energy without filling up your mix, and they land so cleanly on the downbeat that the drop feels bigger, not busier. Here's the mindset before we touch a device. Treat reverse cymbals like transition metadata, not a musical part. Their main job is to communicate the next section starts right here. If you're vibing to your reverse cymbal like it's a lead sound, it's probably too loud or too full range. All right, let's build a reusable reverse cymbal toolkit using only stock Ableton devices, and then we'll lay down three patterns you can trust for 1 bar, 4 bar, and 8 to 16 bar phrasing. First, create an autonote truck and name it REVCYM. Keep it obvious. You want this to become a go-to lane in your template. Now, choosing the cymbal source. This matters more than most people think. You want a cymbal that has a smooth decay, not a super peaky, metallic crash with a nasty ring. In drum and bass, you already have dense hats and bright transients everywhere, so this cymbal needs to act like air and momentum, not a spotlight. Good picks are a ride wash, a long crash tail, an atmospheric cymbal, or a noisy hat wash. And if you're in a jungle mindset, a classic trick is isolating a cymbal from a break, like an Amen-style break, then cleaning it up. Once you've got the sample, load it into the REVCYM track. Go into Clip View, turn Warp on. For this kind of noisy material, Complex or Complex Pro is usually fine, but if you notice it getting facey or smeared, switch to Beats. Sometimes Beats stays more stable for noise-like cymbals, especially when you're forcing it to behave. Now reverse the clip. Right-click, reverse. Here is the DJ editor part, alignment. You're not placing this near the drop. You're placing it so the end of the reversed audio lands exactly on the downbeat of the new phrase. So if your phrase change is at bar 33, you want the end of the reversed clip to hit 33.1.1. Not close. Exactly. Drag it into place, trim as needed, and once you like it, consolidate, Control or Command J. Consolidating is underrated here, because it locks the decision, and it makes the clip easier to manage when you start duplicating and building patterns. Now we shape the envelope so it pulls in cleanly and lands without a messy splash. First device, utility, pull the gain down to around minus 6 dB to start. This isn't a vibe kill, it's headroom discipline. Reverse cymbals eat headroom fast, and they trick you because they feel like background. Next, auto filter. Set it to a high pass, 24 dB slope. Start the cutoff around 200 to 400 Hz and adjust by ear. The goal is to keep it out of subs and low mids so it doesn't cloud the bass switch. Add a little resonance, something like 0.7 up to 1.2, just enough to give you that whoosh edge without turning it into a whistle. Now go back into the clip itself and use fades. For a 1-bar reverse, a fade-in of around 30 to 80 milliseconds is a good ballpark. For a 4-bar ramp, maybe 80 to 200 milliseconds, and then give it a very short fade out, like 5 to 20 milliseconds, so you don't get a click or a tiny tail that smears into the downbeat. Your target feeling is suction into a clean landing, not a reversed crash that still feels like a crash. Next, we make it pump into the downbeat with sidechain. This is crucial in DNB, because if the reverse masks your kick or snare transient, the drop instantly feels smaller. Add a compressor after auto filter. Turn on sidechain. Choose your drum bus as the input, or a kick and snare group. At 174 BPM, sidechaining to the snare is often even more important than the kick, because the snare is the phrase owner. If the snare doesn't crack, the whole transition feels weak. Start with a ratio around 4 to 1. Attack 1 to 5 milliseconds. Release around 80 to 160 milliseconds, and you'll fine-tune that by feel. Set the threshold so that on the downbeat you're getting about 3 to 6 dB of gain reduction. That's usually enough to make space without sounding like obvious pumping. And here's a power move. If you want the reverse to duck more only right at the impact, automate the threshold slightly lower just for the last beat. It's a tiny automation move that can make the drop hit like a door slamming. Now we do harshness control and presence without frying ears. Add EQ8 after the compressor. If you didn't high pass hard enough already, do it here too. In dense rollers, you might push that high pass way up, like 500 to 800 Hz, so the reverse becomes pure air pressure. Then sweep for harshness. The ugly zone is often around 6 to 9 kHz. Make a bell, tighter Q like 4 to 8, and cut maybe 2 to 5 dB. Don't guess. Sweep until you find the part that makes you wince, then pull it down. If you need a bit of air, and a gentle high shelf around 10 to 14 kHz, plus 1 to 3 dB. And if that sounds exciting solo but painful in the mix, that's your sign to back off. Optional but really useful, saturator. Soft sign or analog clip. Drive 1 to 4 dB, and then match the output so you're not just getting louder. Saturation here isn't for distortion. It's for density, so the reverse reads on club systems without you turning it up. Now we handle width. This is where a lot of transitions get club unsafe. Put another utility at the end of the chain. During the build, you can go wide. Try 140% width. But as you approach the impact, automate it back down to 80 to 100%. The club safe rule is, widen the noise, not the low mids. And collapsing toward impact keeps the drop centered and strong. If your utility has bass mono, you can also enable it and set it around 200 to 300 Hz. That helps keep anything lowish from getting weird in mono. And speaking of mono, don't just trust the width knob. Check correlation. Ableton's meter can help, or any correlation meter. Some cymbals have facey stereo content that vanishes in mono even if your width setting looks reasonable. You want the transition cue to still exist on a mono system. Now, the cinematic option. Reverb freestyle tail. Create a return track called REVverb. Add hybrid reverb. Pick a hall or plate flavor. Set decay somewhere like 4 to 10 seconds. Pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds. High cut around 7 to 10 kHz so the tail stays smooth and doesn't sandpaper your hats. Send the reverse cymbal to this return. Automate the send so it rises into the last bar. If you want that freeze-like lift, you can automate the decay longer right before impact. Then to keep it from smearing the drop, put a gate after the reverb and key it from the drums. That way the tail breathes with the groove and then gets out of the way when the drop hits. Now, before we turn this into a rack, do a quick coaching check. Gain staging. Aim for the reverse channel peaking around minus 12 to minus 8 dBFS before any sends. Your lift should come from contrast, filtering, automation, width, and sidechain. Not raw level. Also do the fast masking test. Loop the final two beats before the downbeat. Toggle the reverse on and off. If the snare suddenly feels smaller, less cracky, or like it lost its bite, you're masking in the 2 to 5 kHz range and slash or 8 to 12 kHz. Fix it by cutting harshness, using a steeper high pass, or even doing a little dynamic control on the highs. Alright, let's rack it. Select your devices. Utility, auto filter, compressor with side chain. EQ8, saturator, and the final utility. Group them into an audio effect rack. Map macros like this. Macro 1 for the high pass frequency on auto filter. Macro 2 for side chain amount, usually the compressor threshold. Macro 3 for the harsh cut gain on that EQ notch. Macro 4 for air, the shelf gain. Macro 5 for saturator drive. Macro 6 for width on the final utility. And if you're using the reverb return, consider mapping a macro to the send amount using macro validations or your preferred routing workflow. Save it into your user library as something like DNB reverse symbol transition. The point is speed. You want to be able to drop this into any project and be 80% done instantly. Now arrangement patterns. This is where DJ Friendly really shows up. Pattern 1. The 1 bar micro reverse. This is your quick fill into a drop. Place it so it ramps for 1 bar and ends exactly on the downbeat. It's tight, aggressive, and perfect for heavier drops where you don't want to overhype. Pattern 2. The 4 bar ramp. This is the classic incoming cue. Start at 4 bars before the phrase change, and let it build with subtle filter movement and a little width. At 174 BPM, this is basically the universal get ready signal. Pattern 3. The 8 or 16 bar pressure lift. Start very quiet, almost air only. High pass harder. Keep it subtle until the last bar where it becomes obvious. This is insanely good for rolling bass tunes where the groove is already doing a lot, and you just want pressure, not fireworks. A layering tip that works constantly. One primary, reverse plus a tiny, filtered noise reverse underneath at a low level. High pass both. The second layer is not there to be heard as a separate sound. It's there to add motion. Now let's hit a few advanced variations you can pull out when your mixes are super busy. If your hats are getting stapled to the reverse, try dynamic anti-hat ducking instead of only broadband sidechain. Put multiband dynamics after EQ, focus on the high band around 6 kHz and up, and gently reduce highs by 2 to 4 dB when the drums are active. The reverse stays exciting, but it stops fighting the hat layer. Another DJ edit trick, the pre-impact vacuum. In the last eighth to quarter beat before the drop, automate a tiny dip, like 1 to 2 dB. On the drum group were just the hats. That creates negative space so the downbeat feels bigger, without you turning the reverse up. If you want a more controlled stereo story, do the two-track M/S style method without any special plugins. Duplicate the reverse track. Make track a mono, width at 0%, slightly darker. Make track B super wide, like 160 to 200%, and high cast it harder, maybe 700 hertz and up. Then automate track B down right at impact while track A stays stable. You get wide build, solid center, and it translates way better on questionable systems. And if you want a synthetic suck in, go granular. Set warp to texture, automate grain size smaller toward impact, and add a clip transpose envelope rising maybe +3 to +7 semitones over the last bar. That gives a psychoacoustic lift even if the volume isn't changing much. One more modern trick, reverse into gated noise. Layer a tight gated white noise burst on the downbeat. Super fast attack, short release. It's like you get the cue of the reverse and then a controlled snap that survives the chaos of a busy drop without needing a big crash. Before we wrap, common mistakes to avoid. Too loud is number one. Reverse cymbals feel like background but they chew up headroom. No side chain is another. Then the reverse masks the snare and the drop feels smaller. Overwide at impact. That weakens the center and makes the drop feel less punchy. Too much 6 to 10 kHz. Solo it sounds exciting, in a full DNB mix it's painful. Wrong warp mode. Complex Pro can smear. Beats can be cleaner for noisy material. And landing late. Even a few milliseconds late ruins the DJ edit punch. That last one is worth a dedicated technique. After you align the end of the reverse to the downbeat, zoom into the sample level and inspect the final 20 to 50 milliseconds. Many cymbal samples have a tiny pre-transient hiss that makes the impact feel late. Nudge the clip earlier by a few milliseconds, often 5 to 15 ms, until the drop feels grabby instead of polite. Now your mini practice exercise. Pick a 32-bar drop in an existing rolling DNB project. Build 3 transitions into bar 33. This audio version is shortened for playback.